Hello everyone, my name's Jesse and it's a pleasure to be here to share the word with you. Before we get into it, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much that we can dwell together and worship you, for you are a God worthy of praise. May we continually seek after you as we read your word and understand it. In your name we pray these things. Amen. When I was younger, I found laser beams exciting. Like many youth growing up in this time period, I still remember the day when I first discovered the superhero Cyclops. Cyclops could emit powerful laser beams from his eyes with clear precision. So as a young guy, when aiming to reenact Cyclops with my torches as laser beams, I started asking questions. I asked, what are the major differences between his laser beam and my spotlight? How does a medium power laser, or a strong one in that case, have the capacity to burn through steel in a matter of seconds, while one of the biggest spotlights just can make my arm a little bit warm? I discovered the difference is unity. Even though a torch may be using the same amount of power as a laser, the light particles are radiating out and reflecting in multiple directions. Since there is no precision in the direction it is beaming, the power of the torch is much weaker when it hits your skin. While on the other hand, the light particles in a laser beam work extremely close together in unity to project a powerful and often dangerous beam of light. A laser beam is thus like a pilgrimage of people walking in perfect formation, focusing on their objective. Likewise, the psalmist recognizes the good and pleasant influence of unity as a shared experience. Since the psalm is a song of ascent, we are reminded that Israel are on an upward pilgrimage to the mountainous ranges of Jerusalem, also known as Zion. Their objective is to worship Yahweh, their God. So let's look at the passage together. I encourage you to open up Psalm 133. And I want you to imagine there's a word there that says, behold, before you read it. Okay? Behold, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. In order to understand joyful announcement, we must look at the past experiences that he faced, the past experiences of disunity which troubled him. In Psalm 3, when David was fleeing from his own son, he said, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? In Psalm 6, David says, my eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of my foes. Psalm 22 says, I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their head. He also says in that psalm, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. And in Psalm 31, David, as a haunted man, says, I am forgotten as though I was dead. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. From reading those scriptures, we can understand something clear. David frequently experienced the horrors of civil war. The nation had become so divided that there was more bitter hatred amongst family members and the community of Israel than any foreign enemy. David is represented to us as being afflicted with the terrors and torment of no ordinary kind, declaring that he was afflicted by his enemies. Like a man suspended on a cross, David is clearly miserable from the division and in need of relief. So when we finally read Psalm 133, it acts as a royal announcement full of celebration and relief. Unfortunately, many overlook this and see as a general praise about brotherly fellowship. But in other translations, most of them have behold. The behold is there because King David is building a direct contrast between the delight in brotherly unity and the past divisions that, that destroyed him nearly, haunted him, that mentally horrified him. The divisions and hardships he faced were exchanged for peace. The union of peace then overflowed from a deep relationship with and love for his Lord, Yahweh. So as the nation ventured on their pilgrimage to Zion to worship Yahweh, their God, they sang a good and pleasant song of unity. The Israelites are one with their king and eager to worship their almighty God together. The good and pleasant unity gave Israel a sense of happiness. For the hand of God was wonderfully seen in the reconciliation of peace among foes. While I was studying down in Sydney, I was at YouthWorks College for a year. During year 13, I was deeply impacted by the Christian unity there. Even though my group consisted of people from Queensland, Western Australia, outback New South Wales, and the east coast of New South Wales, the unity there was something beautiful. Christ bound us together despite our differences in upbringings, vocabulary, personalities, or even variant of the Australian accent. We were unified. I always had a pleasant memory of these students because of their love and their anticipation to read the word together and grow in humility and to love their God. It was beautiful to see that. And after being in that community, I was anticipating the next time I would be together with them to continue praising our living God. I had a good and pleasant experience of Christian unity. Friends, I joyfully agree with David. Unity is good and pleasant. For when Israel is united together, the horrors of civil war were exchanged for blessings of peace, and all God's community enjoyed a precious experience of love in union with each other, in communion with their God, which impacted all the surrounding nations. May we also dwell together in this good and pleasant unity as we worship our great God. May we also reject our personal divisive behaviours amongst our brothers and sisters, which are counterproductive in the worship of God. Let us seek that unity and reconciliation. I encourage you to look at verses 2 now. David progresses with two poetic images. Let's look at the first one. It's like a precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Firstly, an anointing of precious oil sets someone apart for God's service. So when we think about this image, we think of a Levitical priest. I think of Exodus, when Moses is told, "You shall take the anointing oil, pour it on Aaron's head, and anoint him." This scented profusion of oil ran down on his beard, even to the collar of his garments, and diffused a fragrance that was sweet and refreshing. So Aaron was covered with precious and holy oil used for sacred service. And secondly, precious oil is a sign of God's Spirit. The anointing was given to priests, prophets, and kings, all who need the Spirit's help to be able to minister effectively. When David was anointed with oil, the Holy Spirit rested on him. So the oil on Aaron was a sign that God's Spirit was with him in his sacred service. Friends, like the good and pleasant unity of God's community, it is like precious oil descending on Aaron, anointing him for holy service. A unity that is like precious oil, beautiful in aroma, running down. A unity that is like a holy spiritual act of service before a very extremely holy God, the pinnacle of holy. A unity that is like witnessing a person or community filled by God's Spirit and set apart for sacred use. But how does this relate to us today as Christians? In Christ, true believers have been anointed with the Spirit once and for all through faith. It is the Spirit who makes us one with Christ, leveling the walls that stand between us as he authors God's new creation in us and anoints us with himself. When we believe that Christ is our Lord, we are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our internal inheritance. Thus, Christians dwell together in unity because they have been anointed with oil by God's Holy Spirit, not temporary precious oil like the Levitical priests. However, many Christians often say things like, I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to stress this language can be dangerous. I'll tell you why. Henry was a new Christian, full of joy and eagerness to discover more about God. However, as a couple of years passed by, Henry started to feel less connected to his God. Henry didn't have the same passion and joy as he did when he became a Christian. Henry felt like the Spirit of God had left him, had forgotten him, had abandoned him. So one day, with a group of friends, Henry prayed for a fresh anointing of God's Spirit. Since he felt like God was wandering away from him, he continually prayed for these fresh anointings every time he wasn't satisfied or felt unholy and far from God. Here's the issue. Henry didn't fully understand that he was sealed eternally by God himself through faith. To ask for a fresh anointing suggested that God's Spirit can wander away from us, someone sealed with the Spirit at conversion. We then begin to turn our face towards the old covenant, the Levitical priests, like Aaron, who had to continually anoint themselves before God in order to have an opportunity to stand before his presence and perform those acts of sacrifice. If we need continual anointing, then Christ's sacrifice isn't as sufficient, and we have no assurance guaranteeing our eternal inheritance, and therefore the body of Christ can become can serve but then fall out of serving, and believers are continually being sealed and then unsealed with the Spirit because they need fresh anointings constantly to be sealed again. Hence our unity as believers is then a rare thing to witness because people are falling in and out of salvation. Friends, if you follow Christ, then you have been anointed by God once and for all, chosen by God, sealed by God, set apart for a sacred service with all others who have received Christ as their Lord. I find comfort in that knowledge. It means that I have guaranteed hope. Christ is with us. His Spirit dwells in us. No one can tamper with God's seal. He keeps those who have been anointed by him. So may we dwell together in good and pleasant unity, knowing that Christ's community are anointed with the Holy Spirit for sacred service. We don't just say yes to Jesus and walk away saying, I've got salvation. It's sacred service. We're called to be saints serving our Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God continues to fill you with that godliness so that our unified pilgrimage endures against the things of the world which corrupt us, which try to lead us away from our God of comfort and assurance. And let's look at this last image now in verse 3. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Mount Hermon was the highest mountain in the region, for it was known for having heavy dew. This dew was a blessing because it descended down to Mount Zion in rich abundance. The dew would moisten the earth and supply it with sap and freshness, reviving and invigorating every plant and fertilizing the land so that Israel would receive blessing Without the dew of Hermon, Israel would have struggled to survive. The blessings of life would be limited in that area. Friends, the good and pleasant unity of God is like the blessing of life descending on Zion. David suggests that the unity of God's people would be sapless, unprofitable, and shameful unless sustained by God's blessings. So Israel's unity was a picture of God's reviving, invigorating, and fertilizing blessing of life forevermore. And as the nation journeyed to worship God at Zion, as pilgrims, they would also be reminded that their unity together as a group of people is eternally sustained by God. And how does this relate to us today? As we know, darkness and gloom came over Israel as they failed to live in the unity blessed by God. They turned blessings, which provided life, into idols that led to destruction. They decided to take the trees down, which produce fruit, and make idols of worship, carving them out and bowing down to them instead of God. However, now that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are also pilgrims tasting the life-giving blessings of Zion. Because of our Messiah, Christ Jesus, who gathers his people together in unity, we enter the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Servants of Christ now come into a festive gathering at Mount Zion, a wedding celebration, and boldly enter into the presence of God as pilgrims, enjoying the fruit of eternity. Even though we have tasted the fruits of Zion, in part, we are still on a pilgrimage to the new Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. For there we will dwell together, enjoying life forevermore, alongside our Messiah, King Jesus. How should we respond? As I was reading through Hebrews chapter 12, the people respond with thankfulness and worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, because he is a God. He's so holy, he's considered a consuming fire. Yet through the Spirit, we have access to our great God. So I want to ask, are you on this pilgrimage as God's community, receiving an unshakable kingdom full of eternal blessings? Are you on that journey? Do you stand in thankfulness, awe, and reverence as you worship our holy God, who is this consuming fire? I pray that you answer with a resounding yes as a fellow pilgrim. As we journey towards the New Jerusalem, may we as Christ's community dwell together in unity as we worship in the presence of our life-giving God. For out of Zion hills, there is salvation. In light of all I said, we can be assured that dwelling together is a good and pleasant thing, isn't it? Do you agree, friends? It is very good. It is very pleasant. And I can say that from experience as well. I don't know what I'll do without dwelling with my Lord Jesus. I would be a lonely man. For through Christ we are anointed by the Holy Spirit and receiving an everlasting blessing that is more valuable than any earthly treasure. May we be encouraged to continually dwell together as we live as pilgrims, serving Christ our Messiah, King. Unity in Christ is pleasant, good, a sacred service, and full of life-giving blessings. May we dwell together in unity. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we can learn from your scripture in Psalm 133. We thank you for this great behold, that it is good and pleasant to dwell together in unity. Since we know Christ our Lord and have been sealed with his Spirit through faith, may we dwell together and serve you because we are sacred in your sight, ready for service, as we look forward to the eternal blessings in the heavenly Jerusalem. May we dwell together in unity. Amen. Thanks, guys.